And I'm glad I'm headed to a place called heaven. I say it all the time, and I just don't say it to say it. I mean it. Heaven's really real, and I really get to go. And it's not because of anything I've done or said or how much money I have or don't have. It's all because of what Jesus done. And, we left out Sunday night on that heaven theme, and we picked up on Sunday morning that heaven theme. Amen. This world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I don't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven was not my home, then, Lord, what would I do? But the angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I just don't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and this I surely know. I fixed it up with God at an altar many years ago. That's how I'm going, amen. And I praise the Lord. Ruth chapter number 1, and I feel like this is where I'm supposed to preach at this morning. It's definitely not the vein of the service, but it don't always have to be either. So you just pray and help me pray, and we'll just try to get what the Lord has for us. I'm glad I'm on my way to heaven, but I want to live right while I'm on my way.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I'm on the way, but I want to do right and I want to live right while I'm on the way. Amen. Ruth chapter 1, let's stand together if you're willing and physically able to do so. And of course, by standing, we want to show honor and reverence to the Word of God. Ruth chapter number 1, we appreciate our guests being here. We're just, if it's your first time here, we're just an old-fashioned church, old-fashioned singing, preaching, praying, and shouting. We're not ashamed of it, and we don't apologize for it, amen. I don't want them messing with Krispy Kreme donuts. They're good the way they are. Amen. I don't want Chick-fil-A messing with them chicken sandwiches. They're good the way they are. And I don't want old-time religion being messed with because it's good the way it is. Amen. And praise God. Amen. And I just felt like I saw that Georgia G on Brother Sanford's tie. Praise God. I just felt it right there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ruth chapter 2, verse 19. Chapter 1, verse 19. I'm sorry if I said chapter 2. Ruth chapter 1, verse 19. So they too, speaking of Naomi and Ruth in this text, went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite is her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Brother Richie, would you pray and ask God bless the reading of His Word this morning? Oh, please help us today, Lord. Touch my voice, Lord. Help me. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I appreciate you standing while we read the Word of the Lord. We have been in this book and around this book, and I've just been enjoying spending some time with Ruth and Naomi and Boaz and just looking through here. We preach, if I counted right, this morning will be the 12th message that we have preached out of the book of Ruth over the last seven Sundays. I didn't get to preach Sunday night. This past Sunday night, this will be my 12th message. We preached out of the book of Ruth over the past several weeks, and we have been looking at several different aspects in the book of Ruth. When we come to our text, we find that Naomi is coming out of the land of Moab, and I'll say more about it in the message. I won't really go through a lot of the introduction we've already dealt with. I believe we've got the point. Ruth and Naomi and Elimelech, her husband, they left Bethlehem, Judah out of the will of God. They went to Moab because of a famine. They disobeyed God. God never told them to go to Moab, and God never wants his people to go to the world looking for help. And so we know, long story short, their two sons, Mary, orphan, Ruth, Moabitish women. God kills Elimelech, and he kills Mahlon and Chilion, and they die, and they have been buried there on the hills of Moab. And then Naomi hears the Lord had visited his people and given them bread, and so she makes that decision to go back to Bethlehem. She's wanting to get right with God. Now, we have dealt with how God deals with individuals here in the book of Ruth. We preached a message a few weeks ago on a Sunday night, you may recall, on how God deals with a sinner, or how God brings a sinner to himself. We looked at it in the case of Ruth. He creates a lacking. He causes a longing. He will constitute a law, but then he will convey his love. He'll show that sinner he's lost, and he'll show that sinner that he cannot do anything in and without himself to get himself to heaven. But then he also shows him that God loves him and that Jesus died for them, and he gave his life for them, and he invites them to come to Christ. I don't know about you, I'm glad I'm a part of that. I'm glad April the 9th, 1997, he brought me to himself and he saved me by his grace. But in our scripture this morning, over the past several weeks, I've had this message burning in my heart, and the Lord's not giving us the green light until today to deal with it. But I want to preach on how God deals with a backslider. How God deals with a backslider. Now, there are some men that would argue that backsliding is an Old Testament thing. Well, let me just tell you, the word backsliding is basically when you're not where you need to be with the Lord. If there's ever a time in your life when you were closer to God than you are right now, then you're backslidden. That's the long and short of it. That's just the... Now, I know I've just killed the service, but I want to live right while I'm on the way to that wonderful place. Amen. And so if I'm going to live right and I'm going to do right while I'm on the way, then I've got to make sure my love and my passion is directed towards the Lord, and I'm not allowing the things of this world to cause me to lose my affection for Him. We see this backslider, if you would, played out in the life of Naomi. Now, I've got 6 points. Don't let that scare you. It won't take me long to give them to you because it didn't take me long to write it. Amen. God's been putting this in my heart for the last few weeks. But I want to say 6 things that God will do in the case of a backslider. By the way, we've all done it before. We have all, we always equivalate, is that a word? We always, that's not a word, is it? Neither some of the words you say, so don't leave me alone. So, associate. We always, it's been a long week. We always associate backsliding with quitting church.
Right.
Sometimes it does result in that in major cases, but that's not always the case.
That's right.
There have been times I've been at every church in the week and in revival meeting and not been where I'm supposed to be with the Lord in my Christian walk. And so there are 6 things I want to say that God will do. It's not the prettiest outline. It's not the best structured. I wouldn't get a good grade in Bible college, but it's the way the Lord gave it to me. So we'll just share it, all right? Number one, here's how God will deal with a backslider. In verse number 21, I went out full. The Lord has brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord? Watch this phrase now. Hath testified against me. The first thing God will do dealing with a backslider, he will try to block you from going. He'll try to block you from going. That word testified there, it means to speak against. It means to shout. Literally, you look it up. It means to shout, speaking against. Naomi said the Lord spoke against us going to Moab. He tried to stop us from going there. And can I say this? Anytime you and I are not where we need to be with the Lord and we find ourselves in a backslidden position where we're not supposed to be, you know what? We can always go back to God putting a word in our heart where He's saying, don't do that. Don't go there. Don't go that direction. He'll try to block you from going. Y'all know I like football, and you know what? Part of the game of football, they'll have men that are blockers. You know what them blockers are designed to do? They're designed to keep somebody from doing what they want to do. You got offensive linemen, they'll run out in front of that running back and they're blocking, they're trying to make a way so that running back has a path, but that defensive lineman, he wants to take that running back's head off. So they have blockers that try to hinder them from their purpose. Can I say this? Before you ever go astray and before you ever leave God, God will be standing there trying to block your path, saying, don't go that way. Don't do that. Don't go that direction. Now, how does God do it? I don't know how God testified against Naomi and Elimelech in chapter 1, but I know how He does it today. Number one, God will block you through the precepts of the Scriptures. He has given you this Bible. And He's giving you example and giving me example over and over and over again of people who rebelled and went back on God. These things, Paul said, were written for our examples, so we might learn, and they might for our learning, our admonition. And God has put so many illustrations in there to tell us, don't do what they did.
Amen.
See, if I'd have wrote the Bible, I wouldn't have wrote about Abraham's failure. I wouldn't have told about when Noah got drunk after he got off the ark. I definitely wouldn't have told about when David committed murder and committed adultery with Bathsheba. I'd have told all the good things, but I'm flesh. See, God lets us see the bad things so He can let us know, number one, nobody's perfect, and number two, don't do what they did. Amen. He'll try to block you. The precepts of the Scriptures. Number two, the preaching of His servants. You know what I believe? I believe for anybody, especially somebody that's in church, before they ever quit on God, God puts a gospel preacher in their path saying, don't do that. Don't go that direction. Don't live that way. Don't allow that stronghold to take precedence in your life. I know we ain't shouting, but this is what the Lord's given us the green light on. And I'm telling you this morning, if we want to keep that shout, which I do, then we're going to have to deal with this subject and realize that God does not want us to go astray. God does not want us to have to deal with the pain of sin. And so He's given us the Scriptures and He's given us preachers.
Yes.
That'll say, don't do that.
Amen.
I get accused of being mean and hard I've been called a legalist. I've been called, because I tell people, you better not do that. Now, I don't follow you around every day and say, oh, don't do that. I can't. I don't have time. I'm doing good to follow myself around. Amen. I'm doing myself to kind of try to keep myself. I can't keep you straight. Amen. We'll let the undertaker take care of that. But I'll tell you what I am, as a pastor and as a preacher of the gospel, I have an obligation to get in that pulpit and open up that Bible and say, God said, don't do that. God said, don't go there. God said, don't have that. I don't ever want somebody to get out of church and quit on God and not have a red-faced preacher shouting and preaching saying, don't go that way. If they do, they're going to have to walk around the preaching of God's Word. And I don't want it to be. In fact, I know it, they won't be able to point their finger at my face and say, you didn't tell me.
That's right.
Amen. Especially if you're just trying to clear your conscience. Call it what you may, call it what you will. But I'm going to give the truth. Whether or not you obey the truth, that ball's in your court.
Yes, sir.
It's not my problem anymore. I've obeyed.
Yeah.
Amen. Here, give you an example. Read your Bible every day. Now, I ain't showing up at Brother Rich's house in the morning and saying, all right, it's time. Let's read the Bible now.
Yeah.
Pray. I don't come to your house and all right now, Preacher Sanford, it's time to pray. We got to pray now. Son, I'd run myself ragged. Not my job. See, here's the problem. A lot of people claim they're saved and have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them. That's the one that says, time to read the Bible. It's time to pray. It's time to go to church. Don't do that. Don't go there. See, that leads me to my third one, the precepts of the Scriptures, the preaching of the servants, and the prodding of the Spirit. You know what I found out a lot in my almost 6 years of pastoring and in dog years, a dog year is 7 years to one human years, and I think pastoring years are like dog years. So in my 35 years of ministry, and I'm 27, my birthday was last Sunday. Amen. In case anybody missed it. So, you know what I've learned? There's not as many backsliders what we think they are.
That's right.
I've knocked on doors, talked to people, and say, go to church anywhere. Oh, preacher, we're backslid. Well, how long have you been out of church? Oh, we've been out about 25 years.
Yeah.
That's like longer than I've been alive almost. You've been back to that long? You might just come and get saved.
Amen.
Here's our problem with our family. We don't want to admit they're lost.
That's right.
Because we got this thing, oh, no, they're saved. I was there. It don't matter if you were there, if you heard what they said, if God didn't move on the inside, they're not saved.
Amen.
And if you quit telling them they were, they might well get saved.
Yes, sir.
I know we got quiet right there.
Right.
It's the truth, though. It's the truth. You see, we sometimes we shout so loud that if God does live on the inside of that individual, they can't hear Him. Amen. That prodding of the Spirit. I liken that prodding of the Spirit to how many of y'all had a mama or a grandma that would use this word, aunt? Now, I have no idea. You can't find the word aunt in the dictionary. But everybody here knows what that means. I don't know how to spell it. You can't look it, but we all know what it means. And I tell you, the Holy Spirit of God lives on the inside of us. And if you're saved, when you go to do something, you'll hear, eh?
Yeah, right.
So I said, well, I don't hear it. Well, you might be none of His.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Or it might be you've allowed so much stuff to you're muffling His voice and you're trying to silence the voice of God in your life.
Yes, sir.
He's going to block you saying, don't go that way. I have preach to people and counsel with people and try to tell people, don't do this. Don't go that way. If you do that, it's going to mess up. And they think they know better. And I'm not brilliant. But I'm a preacher of the gospel.
Yeah.
And I'll give them scriptural principles and say, this is what you need to do. And they go on their own way. And I'm not bragging and I'm not trying to gloat. But it always ends up the way I told them it would end up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Remember in Acts 27, Paul looked at him and said, boys, I don't think we ought to sail today. Well, they knew more than the preacher did. And they got out there, and when the ship got busted up, they're having to throw everything off, Paul could have got up and said, told you so.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, he did. He said, I warned y'all. Now, let's fix it, but I warned you.
Yeah.
And they'd have been a whole lot better off if they just listened to what the preacher said.
Amen.
And the preacher was just acting on what the Spirit told him.
That's right.
Amen. 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 The precepts of the Scriptures, the preaching of His servants, the prodding of the Spirit, but it all cumulates into the pain of sin.
Yeah.
The reason the Scriptures testify against it, the reason the preachers preach against it, and the reason the Spirit prods against it is because there's pain in that lifestyle.
Yes, sir.
Could it be, in my mind's eye, Elimelech and Naomi and Mahlon and Chilion, they have their bags packed and they're walking out of Bethlehem. Could it be, I don't know, maybe God sent one of His prophets by. We don't know. We don't have the record and said, look, y'all are making a mistake. Please don't leave. Please don't. We know what we're doing. Man's got to do what he's got to do for his family. I've had that statement said to me before. And by the gentleman that made it to me, they're out of church this morning. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you. Here's the thing. Don't matter what preacher would have said, they already made up their mind.
Right. Yep. That's right.
Amen. Number two. Y'all right?
Yes, sir.
This will help us. This will help us. Number two, he'll try to block you from going. Number two, if you do go, here's what he'll do. He'll make things bitter in your life. Look at verse number 20. She said to them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Lord Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. You see, the sweetness of sin was gone. See, when they first got to Moab, most likely they began to enjoy it. Boy, it's a nice town. Boy, it's a nice school. Man, there ain't as many people hollering, telling us not what to do and telling us what to do. Man, you can just kind of do what you want to down here. See, they went down there and they joined that first liberal church of Moab.
Yeah. Amen.
There wasn't no red-faced preacher up there preaching saying, don't do this and don't drink alcohol and don't do drugs and don't fornicate and don't commit adultery and don't watch this, don't listen to that. They wasn't preaching like that in Moab.
Amen.
They're saying, if it feels good, do it. If it pleases you, go ahead and do it. Here's what happened. Mahlon and Chilion, they married Moabites, which some writers believe they were prostitutes.
Yeah. Amen.
And I'll tell you, I've seen people that get out of church and they get out of a good gospel preaching church where they're preaching the Bible, and they always go somewhere where it's a little bit looser.
Yep. Yep.
Amen. I've never had anybody leave our church that went somewhere that was straighter than here.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Never had one leave one go one that was straighter than here and preach. Somebody said, you're awful prideful. I try to preach it straight. I preach it straighter than I like it sometimes. I'm like, man, I can't give myself a break. You know why? Because the flesh don't want something straighter. It wants something a little bit looser. It won't somewhere where they won't hit on music and dress and preach. That's just all. Tell me what Jesus said. Well, Jesus said that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It's in you, which you have in God. You're not your own, for you're bought with a price.
Amen.
I'm not judging. I'm just saying what the book said. I'm saying what the judge said.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. The sweetness of sin was gone, but then the satisfaction of sin was gone. When she's standing at the funeral home with three corpses, which was her husband, her two sons, ain't as good as what it was before.
That's right.
I mean, we was having a good time down here at Moab, but now the sweetness and the satisfaction's gone. He'll try to block you. He'll make things bitter in your life. Number three, I'm hurrying quickly. You're listening so well, I'm hurrying. Watch this now. He will also burden you. Watch what she says in verse 13, the latter part of verse 13. The hand of the Lord is gone out against me.
Yeah.
Brother Kenny, I want his hand on me. I want his hand for me. I want his hand with me. Those are all scriptures you can find in your Bible. But I don't want his hand against me. I read this in my devotions this week. Psalm 32, after David sinned with Bathsheba, he wrote Psalm 32, verse 4. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. Can I illustrate? Okay, come here. I'm going to illustrate what I do. I would do it with Daxton, but I don't know if he'll cooperate. I'll tell you what I do with my son sometimes, especially Daxton. We'll be walking through the mall together. You can walk a little faster than that. Walk through them all together, and there's the Lego store over there. It's over there. You see it? You're just crazy as I am if you see it. And we don't have time to go to the Lego store that day. So act like you want to go to the Lego store. He starts holding that way, and my hand will get heavy on his shoulder. How many had a daddy or a mama? You start going off one direction, I go that way. Try going off, and my hand get a little bit stronger. There's a nerve about right in here you can push. Amen. That hand gets heavy, letting you know we're not going there.
Yeah.
And when Naomi said the hand of the Lord has gone out against me, she was saying, God's put his hand heavy on me, saying, mm-mm. Thank you. That's not where we go.
Yeah. Right.
I'm going to give you the outline just for those who are for taking it. He'll make you uncomfortable. That wasn't very comfortable, me pushing that little nerve right there. Wasn't very comfortable at all. But God will do that to make you uncomfortable, to realize you're not where you belong. He'll make you unhappy. At one point, that sin made you happy. It was pleasure, but now there's pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season.
Amen.
He'll make you uncomfortable. He'll make you unhappy. Watch this now. And this is a hard word to spell. If you can't spell it, just do the best you can. He'll give you an ultimatum. Brother Richie, didn't he know what I was preaching on today and dealt with in Sunday school? For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastisement, God deal with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof ye are all partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Once again, as he said, that's not custom, but that is the Bible. He said, you're illegitimate. You're not one of mine if you don't receive chastisement. So I said, well, I ain't never had God's hand get heavy on me. Then you might not be his. See, there is a difference between guilt and God. There are people that are lost that have guilt. But I don't mean they're saved. God is when there's an uneasiness in your spirit.
Yes.
And you go to church and it's just not like it was. And you read the Bible and it's not like it was. And you try to pray and it's not like it was. That's not guilt. That's God.
Yes.
Putting that hand heavy upon you. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Putting that hand heavy upon you.
Yes, sir.
He'll try to block you. He'll make things bitter. He'll burden you. Watch this. Number four. Verse 21. She said, and the Almighty hath afflicted me. He'll break you. That word afflicted literally means to break or be broken. God wants to break you away from your sin.
Amen.
He'll break you away from your pride, first of all. Pride go before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. He wants to break you from your path, that direction you're going. Remember that shepherd? We preached Psalm 23 last year. If a shepherd has a sheep that keeps going astray, he's going to lead others astray eventually. So that shepherd, not to be cruel, but he'll take that little lamb, he'll break one of its legs, and immediately he'll set that bone and put a splint on it. He does that as correction. You know what he'll do for the next few weeks if that bone heals? He'll carry that sheep around on his shoulders. God might have to break some things out of your life so you'll quit straying from him.
Yes, sir.
Somebody said, well, God wouldn't do that. He sure would. You'd be amazed at what God would do. God said in His Bible, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And we always think about the little fat Buddha guy at the Chinese restaurant or the Japanese restaurant. We're like, well, I ain't got no... But I'm telling you, your children can become a god. Your job can become a god. Your television, your whatever. Anything you put before God, it's just as bad as those that would bow down to a little idol and worship that.
Amen.
That's why God sees it.
Amen.
And God said, you do that, that I may break that away out of your life. Because
yes.
God is a jealous God.
Oh, yeah.
It's not jealousy as the sin jealous, but it's He don't want anybody taking your affections other than Him. Nobody else died for you. Nobody else. I know, God, man, God's got a son. God has got His, I appreciate the Lord raining this atmosphere the way it needs to be. That's a little word. God will break things out of your life. So say, it's not about all that. It's about me.
Right.
Yeah. You can become your God.
Yep.
So I said, preacher, I don't worship myself. I'm not saying you bow down and say pray. I'm not. No, no, no. But your desires, your affections, your wants can supersede what God wants in your life. Well, I know preacher said we're having church tonight, but man, I just don't feel like it. I just don't. Well, man, I don't feel like coming. I didn't feel like coming this morning. 6:30 came off early this morning. Especially for me, I hate mornings. I wish the day would start at noon. Amen. But you know what? I came because even if I didn't feel like it, because God told me, I need to be at church. And I knew if I didn't come to church, you know what I'd feel? I'd feel that. Amen. And you don't like how that feels. I don't like how it feels either. I won't mess up your golfing. Amen. What I'm saying is there is a... And when you get around things, God is... Let me just... I'm almost done. God may have to break you away from... This ain't your notes. God may have to break you away from some people.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
God may have to break you away from some people. Sometimes somebody will get saved... And that worldly crowd, they're trying to pull them back down. God may have to break them away. Somebody says, well, I want them to be saved. You say, I want my friends to be saved. That's wonderful. Pray for them. Be a light. But don't go be with them.
Amen.
I'm telling you, and even after you're saved, there's certain people you don't need to be hanging out with. I can't help when I go to Logan's Steakhouse that the bubba across the table over there has got a beer and he's drinking it while he's eating a steak. I can't help that. I can't help him sitting at my table drinking.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. I can't help him coming to my table and drinking it. That ain't happening.
Yeah.
Amen. There's some things I can't help, but there's some things I can.
Yeah.
And that's why, and let me encourage you, some of you work in the public work, Christmas time, and parties come up, and they all want you to go out and all that stuff, and all they do is drink and party and carouse and live like the devil and live like the world. Well, preacher, they're nice people. Yeah, but nice people go to hell.
Yep. Amen.
Somebody said, well, I will be a light and a testimony. No, you don't. You just want to fellowship with the world and use it as a work excuse so you don't feel as guilty.
Yes, sir.
I used to work at Chick-fil-A. And I like playing golf. I ain't no good. Kate is a golfer, man. I mean, he is a golfer. Makes Tiger Woods, I mean, of course, you really got to be, I mean, Tiger Woods, he makes him look very bad. Of course, Tiger Woods does a good job making himself look bad without any help. But anyway, so when his wife beat him with that golf club, Phil Mickelson called Tiger's wife and said, wanted some pointers on how to beat Tiger. I ain't got to play in the last. I ain't played golf since Sightler was born. I need to fix that. Y'all pray for me. But it's been 2 years. My goodness, and I'd probably go out and shoot a 71 if I went and played just now on the first nine. But anyway, so I was playing golf a lot when I worked Chick-fil-A, and I had a guy I worked with. He loved golf. He was better than I was. He played every week, sometimes multiple times a week. And it's coming around my birthday, which was last Sunday, and it's getting around my birthday. And he comes up to me and says, Josh, I'd like to do something for your birthday. I said, yeah, man. He said, I want to take you to Asheville and take you to what was voted last year in Golf Magazine, one of the top 10 courses in the Southeast. I said, man, you know I can't afford it. He said, no, I'm paying for it. I want to take you and be nice to you. He said, you've been good to work with. We're good friends. And we were. We was good friends at work. We worked good together, and we worked together a lot. We was on the same shift, and at Chick-fil-A, I mean, we literally worked shoulder to shoulder a lot. Spent a lot of time together. We were friends. Still to this day, if he called me, I'd try to do anything I can to help him. And I knew that he drank. And I'm talking about this kind of golf course, you guys know it probably costs $120 to $150, green fees, car, all that stuff to get on that golf course. It wasn't like McCandless down here, all right? It was fancy. And I said, Ryan, man, I appreciate you wanting to do that. I said, and I'd be glad to go. I said, but if you start drinking, I'm leaving. And I'm taking your car and driving home and leaving you at the golf course. And I'm thankful. He said, Josh, I respect you too much to do that, because he knew I was a Christian, I was a preacher. Amen. But can I tell you this? I could have said, well, you know what? I mean, after all, it's his car. He's paying for the golf trip. He's dropping $300 and buying my lunch today and buying me a nice hat if he wants to have a beer. I mean, that's his business. And I would have violated God and violated that spirit of God in my heart.
Amen.
Amen. And by the way, why would God do that to me and not do that to you if you're saved?
Yeah. Amen.
Wow. Amen. Number five, y'all all right? I don't want to finish preaching this now. I want to finish it this morning. He'll block you. He'll try to block you. He'll make things bitter in your life. He'll try to burden you. He'll break you. Watch this now. In verse 21, she said, the Lord brought me home again empty. He wants to get you to the bottom. I've said this over and over again. You won't get help till you hit rock bottom. And some people, the reason they ain't got no help is they ain't hit rock bottom. You know why the prodigal didn't come home in Luke 15, verse 13, verse 12, when he's riotous to his living? He hadn't hit bottom yet.
Yeah.
When he found himself in the hog slop, and he's wanting to eat the stuff coming out of the hog's mouth, he's so hungry, you can't get much below the bottom than that.
Amen.
Let me give you three things. I'm hurrying. When you get to the bottom, you got to realize your position. She said, I'm empty. That satisfaction is no longer there. You need to remember the past. She said, I went out full. She said, when I left, I was full of God's blessings. But now, she's empty. And you must respond properly. I know I'm running quick, but I'm trying to finish. You see, it's a good thing to realize your position. It's a wonderful thing to remember the past. But if you don't respond properly to the chastisement of God, it is no account. It is no account. How does God deal with a backslider? He'll try to block you. By the way, you can get around God's blocking.
Yep.
You can get around. Somebody said, you can't get around God. God will try to block you. God won't make you live right, but He'll make you wish you would have.
Amen.
So if you get around that block, that may happen. He's going to make things bitter in your life. He's going to try to break you. He's going to burden you. He wants to get you to the bottom. But He does all of this, last of all, because He wants you back.
Yeah.
He said, the Lord hath brought me home.
Yeah.
She didn't say the Lord has brought me back to Bethlehem. Brother Mike, she specifically used the words, home.
Yeah.
What is the old saying? There's no place like home.
Right.
When she got back home, it involved repentance. Repentance is a change of mind, a change of action, a change of direction. It involved a return. She left Moab. And it involved restoration. The Bible does say, He restoreth my soul. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Would you fall in that category of being a backslider this morning? We all been there. Some of us are there now. We know how to put on a good front. We can tie our tie just right, button our coat, shine our shoes, fix our hair. You ladies, get your dresses and do all that, whatever y'all do to get ready in the mornings or whatever. And y'all, man, we can come in and boy, we look good. But you know who Jesus had no time for in the Bible? He had no time for the Pharisees. Because the Pharisees had it all right on the outside. But on the inside were corrupt, wretched, and vile. It wasn't out of ignorance. They were trying to deceive people. I don't want to be that. I want to be real deal. Now I know I've not jumped and hollered and preached and sweated like I normally like to try to preach on Sunday morning. But I believe God sending a word to us today. He testified. He'll block you. God's trying to block some of you this morning from going that direction. He might be using me to do it. There might be some decisions you're getting ready to make, and God's using me to herald out against that. I don't know what it is. I'm trying to block. If you do go, He'll try to make things. He'll make things better. He'll burden you. He'll put His heavy hand on you. He'll break some things. He'll get you to the bottom, and He does all that, Brother Sanford, because He loves you, and He wants you back.
Amen.
He wants you back. Any of you that's ever had a child leave home out of rebellion. Can I just get personal? It's all right. Austin, there's a time in your life, son, you rebelled. And I'm not picking on him. He knows I love him and I love his family. And they said, you're not going to do it here. And he left. You know why? The whole time, they didn't agree with what he was doing. But the whole time, the purpose of them not agreeing was so that he might come back.
Yes.
And thank God he did. Amen. And I don't say that to embarrass you, son. I say that because I love you. And that illustrates that perfectly. So I said, well, I ain't doing that. Well, you can't let your kids live like, and I'm not cussing, but I'm going to tell you, you can't let your kids live like hell and expect to have heaven in your home.
That's right.
You can't invite hell in your home and expect to have heaven.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So sometimes you got to make some decisions. I understand my boys are little now, and I may have to deal, God forbid I ever have to deal with this. God forbid. But if I do ever have to say, if I have to look at one of my boys and say, son, I love you. And your daddy loves you, your mama loves you, but you ain't living like that here. And they choose to leave. God forbid that ever happened. Some of you have dealt with that. And I can't imagine that torture in your soul. But the purpose for that is so they might come back.
Yes.
You know why? The prodigal father, he wasted his son. That boy said, I want what I got coming to me. He basically told his dad to drop dead. He said, I want my inheritance.
Yep.
And he left. The father said, you ain't living like that around here. But there was always a place at the table for him.
Amen.
Can I say this? God won't let you live a certain way, but there's always a place of repentance.
Yes.
And there's always a way that you can get back and get things right with God.
Amen.
I've tried to obey the Lord and given the message He put on my heart today. Let's stand together, heads bowed and our eyes closed. My wife's going to come, play a verse of invitation. How God deals with a backslider.